Okay. Okay, today's daf is daf vav. Just a few minutes on yesterday's topic of Darvish Beminyan. Yesterday we spoke about what the halacha is about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah next to each other. That's daf hey. We spoke about what is the halacha of Beit Sashanolda even after the Takana of Yochanan and Zakkai, where the halacha went back to accepting Eidus Kol Hayom. Do we say that because that's true, so the only time we keep 2 days is because of Sveikat Yoma, and therefore the egg will be Muteres? Or the Gemara had three other suggestions why even Bisman, the halacha went back to the law of accepting Eidim Kol Hayom, still we would say the egg is still Aser. Three potential reasons given. Number one, Dover Sheba Minyan, Sarach Minyan Acher Lahatira. Whenever something is Ne'asar through a Minyan, it can't be matured without another Minyan, and therefore, that's why the halacha sticks. That was number one. Number two was Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it'll come back soon, and we don't want to get confused, because we'll think, last year we ate it, and we ate it, and this year we want to eat it again, but we won't know there's a new issue that came up with the Beis HaMikdash being standing, and we don't want to accept the Eidim after Mincha. And number three was a change in how we viewed what exactly Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. Maybe he kept the din of keeping the 2 days of Yom Kedusha, and he just went back to saying that the first day is Yom Kodesh, and the second day is a Yom, even if the Eidim came, they would hold the first day as Aleph Tishrei, and the second day as Aleph Tishrei, as Beis Tishrei, and both of them would be Yomei Kodesh anyway. That was yesterday's daf in a nutshell. Those were the three reasons. So let's talk a little bit about the first reason, as I mentioned. Davar Sheba Minyan Sarach Minyan Acher L'Hatiro. There is a question that is asked between this Gemara, where it seems to say that as long as you have another Minyan, you'll be able to change the previous takana versus a Mishnah in Idios. Mishnah in Idios, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Whole Masechta Idios is a potpourri of Mishnayos, because that's the only Masechta that every Mishnah could be another topic, or every two or three Mishnayos, because it's all about Idios. Tanam were being mayed about different halachos that they heard, and therefore every two or three Mishnayos is a different topic. But at the beginning of Masechta Idios, the Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks, why are minority shitos mentioned in Mishnayos, and what significance do they have? So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah in that context, she'ein bezdin yachol levatel divrei bezdin chaveiro, ad sheyehei gadol mimenu b'chachmu v'minyan. A later bezdin is only allowed to be mevatel an earlier bezdin's law if they are greater in chachma, in wisdom, u'b'minyan, and in number. What does the number mean? Isn't every Sanhedrin the same number? So there's a question that we showed him deal with. What is exactly does minyan mean? Does it mean the number of years, how old they are? Number of experience in years in the Sanhedrin? Okay, but that's a question of what minyan means. But the Mishnah says beferish, you have to be gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan. If you're only greater in chachma or minyan, either one, says the Mishnah, eino yachal levatel dvarav. You cannot be mevatel the divrei bezdin of earlier. So which is it? Does a bezdin have to be greater than the previous bezdin, or just be another? Right? What does our Gemara say? Tzarach minyan acher. You just need another minyan. You don't have to be a greater minyan. So that's a question. The Rishonim deal with that. If you look in the Rambam and the Ravid, it seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. In Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Beis, the Rambam seems to paskin like the Mishnah in Idios, where the Rambam says, "Eino yachal bezdin shegazu gzeiro hiskinu takanav en higo minhag." Etc. A later Beza cannot be Mevatel. And that's what the Ravid asks. First of all, what do you do with our Gemara? And what do you do even with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you're going to say Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was greater than the previous generations? Says the Ravid, that can't be. So the Ravid, Eter Shuki Peros Kasha Ale. Says the Kozer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Lo Yal Gadol Karishonim. So therefore, the Ravid leads the Rambam Bitzarach Ian. What do you do with our Gemara? So that's what the early Achronim and the late Rishonim deal with. What does the Rambam do with our Gemara? The Rambam says you need Gadol Mimenu. Was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai greater? So says the Kesef Mishnah, yeah! Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was greater. Right? We had the Gemara we did on a Shabbos, I remember in the Sechah Sukkah. That I spoke about it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Katan Sheba Kulam, and the birds used to get burned up in the chafs over there. He was greater. That's what Kesef Mishnah's answer. He was greater than the earlier Rishonim. But there are other answers, the earlier Doros. There are other answers given. There's an answer given by Rav Chaim Heller. Chaim Heller wrote his own Pirush on Sefer HaMitzvos. And Masada Rav Kook put it out, I think. So in the footnotes there, in Shorish Yud Dalid, so he suggests that maybe even the Rambam would agree that even if you don't have Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma U'V'Minyan, but if there is another good reason to change the law because there's some type of hefsid or hezek being occurring because of this law, then you're allowed to change it, even if you're not going to be in a brachah b'minyan. So what's the halacha, says Rav Chaim Hela, b'zmanazeh? What was the takana of Rav Yechon b'Zakkai? It was about taking the fruit to Yerushalayim. Instead of redeeming it, you take it to Yerushalayim within one day radius. So says Rav Chaim Hela, one second, what's the halacha b'zmanazeh about fruit in Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim? You're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni without a Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. But the halacha is, if you look at the Rambam, if you bring Maaser Sheni fruit to Yerushalayim, you have to let it rot. It has Kedusha, and you have to let it rot. You can't take it out of Yerushalayim. So what, you're going to bring up Peros Mamish to Yerushalayim, and it'll be there, and it'll rot? It's Baltashchis. It's causing so much hazard. What's the purpose of that, Pizbanazet? There's no more Shuki Peros. So you have this, not only do you have that the reason shouldn't apply anymore, but there's a hefsid that's going to be caused. So that is why, says Rav Chaim Hela, even the Rambam would agree that even if you do not have God of Menem Chachma of a minion, you still would be allowed to be Mevatel the earlier Takana. There are other reasons, though. That is two answers, two suggestions given for the Rambam. You had a question?
Rav Chaim
Zakkai says it was Katan Shebekulam, like I said. Okay, so the earlier Daras Midi was greater, so that's obviously maybe what the Rivet thinks. Right, we have to talk about Yonath Ben Uziel. The Pesaruzia was the one with the fire. Okay, and one other discussion in Darvar Shiva Minyan, and that is Achronim ask on the Rivet. Right, so the Rivet says that all you need is like our Gemara, all you need is a parallel Besdin. You do not need a greater Besdin. So the question is asked: Shema Yesh Tam Kamus Shalon is Batel. As I mentioned yesterday from the Meshech Chachma, quoting the Gra, that sometimes, by Dinam Drabanan, there are reasons that we don't even know about. Chazal told us one reason for a law, two reasons for a law, but there are many reasons maybe that we don't know. So how could it be that a later Bezin could say the Din doesn't apply just because the reason doesn't apply and we're on the same level as them? How could we just get rid of takanas sometimes? Many other times we don't get rid of takanas. Refuah b'Shabbos, right? Many say, oh, we don't make medicine by grinding it anymore. Why can't we take medicines on Shabbos in the situations that we can't? And we say, no, you know, the halacha sticks. Many times we say, Yom Tov Sheni, we had yesterday. Maybe there's a reason, maybe there's not a reason. Why is it that sometimes you find that the Din D'Rabbanan sticks even though the reason does not apply anymore? And sometimes we'll say, you know, as we'll have today a case in Tosis is going to bring up on Daf Vav, the halacha of Mayim Gluyim, right? You have water left overnight and the you're worried about a snake putting the poison in, and nowadays we don't have to worry about that halacha. The question is, when do you say, what's the rules about laws, Dinam Darabanim staying or Dinam Darabanim not staying? So Rav Schechter likes to quote the Mishkanus Yaakov, which is, he has a sefer on Beitza of the Kohelas Yaakov, from the Tshuvas Mishkanus Yaakov, or Yaakov Mikarliner, who says as follows. It's more of Rav Schechter's formulation. Mishkanus Yaakov doesn't say it exactly like this, but this is how he says it. And that is, some Takanos Darabanan, when they were made, they had the reason built into the Takana. It was formulated in it. It's as if it's parallel to when sometimes the Torah itself gives a reason for a halacha. Sometimes the reason was formulated as part of the halacha. And sometimes the Rabbanan said, no, they just made the law. There was a reason for it, but they didn't put it into the formulation of the halacha. When the reason is part and formulated in the Din D'Rabbanan, so then we say, once the reason doesn't apply anymore, it's so part and parcel and essential to the din, then the whole thing wouldn't apply anymore once the reason doesn't apply. Masha'enkein, if the din d'rabbanan was not formulated with the reason, so then we wouldn't say that. We would say, the law sticks, even if the reason does not apply. How do you know? How do you know when the reason is formulated in the din d'rabbanan and when not? So Rav Schechter suggested, again, based on the Kohelas Yaakov, Rav Schechter suggested that whenever a din d'rabbanan is going against a din d'oraisa, whenever the din d'rabbanan is challenging a din d'oraisa and saying a din d'oraisa shouldn't apply, Chazal don't have the power to say that forever they're going to knock out this din d'oraisa. So whenever a din d'rabbanan is going up against a din d'oraisa saying it doesn't apply, that's when they had to formulate the d'rabbanan with the reason included, so that if at any point in time the reason wouldn't apply anymore, the din wouldn't apply anymore. But if there's no counter pressure of a din d'oraisa, so then they didn't do that. Shechter gave three examples. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Shin Gimel asks, and he does not answer the question. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Bizman hazeh, we don't have any Rishus Rabim d'oraisa. We don't have any Rishus Rabim d'oraisa bizman hazeh." Right, the what's the Rishon Rav D'Oraisa? We don't have one big street anymore. We don't have all the different laws we spoke about in Masechet Erevin. We don't have a real Rishon Rav D'Oraisa anymore. So ask the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha, why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos b'zman hazeh? Why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos b'zman hazeh? After all, there is no real D'Oraisa that we're worried about. So what are we worried about? The Rabbanan is Xer is all in the world of the Rabbanans. Why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos? But Sarachir doesn't answer the question. So what's Mishnah Berurah talking about? There was a Gzeira Drabanan. If there's a Gzeira Drabanan, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore, the halacha should still apply. What's the answer? No, this Din Drabanan is going against the Daraisa, blowing shofar. So you have to say, by this Din Drabanan, the reason was formulated in the Din Drabanan, and therefore once the reason doesn't apply anymore, the Din shouldn't apply, and that's why he's bothered. What's the answer? That's a good kasha. But either way, that's why the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by this question. Number one. Number two, another example. The Beis Yosef quotes that there was an Isser Durabanan for a Kohen to Duchin if he has blemishes on his hands. Isser Durabanan to do that. Why? Because the Gemara says, because the Tzibur is going to get distracted by looking at his hands. They're bloody, whatever he has. He has blisters on his hands. Said, but we don't want that to be distracted. No Duchini. Says the Beis Yosef, b'zman hazeh, what's our minog to the Kohanim to put the talus over their hands? Right? So the reason, right? So what happens now, says the Beis Yosef, you're right. So that's why all Kohanim are allowed to duchen b'zman hazeh, even if they have blemishes on their hands. Why? Because nobody sees their hands anyway. What do you mean nobody sees their hands? Nobody's looking anyway, but even if they would, they wouldn't be distracted. It's under the talus. So says Rav Shechter, what do you mean? There was a gzeira, no Kohen with blemishes on their hands or duchen. What's the answer? No. Because again, that issue was wiping out a mitzvah daraisa. The mitzvah daraisa of duchening. So that's why, again, the reason it had to be formulated as part of the takana, and if it wasn't, so then, and once the reason doesn't apply, the din could be wiped out. And one more, and then we'll start the new daf. And that is, he quotes from the Rosh in Ksubas. There was an din derabanan, it's quoted in the Ksuba, where Ksubas talks about it, of Ksubas banan dichrin. What's Ksubas Banan Dichrin? Is one of the Tznaim of the Ksuba. That is, let's say, a woman has sons from a prior marriage before she gets married. So the sons have a prior marriage. So the Chazal said, you know what, she might be scared to get married. Or the father might not want to give her son, the wife's father might not want to give her so much money as a dowry. Why? Because the father knows that what's going to happen to all his money that he gives his daughter, the husband's going to yarshin it. Baal yorish is ishto. And therefore, let's say my daughter, the husband will say, let's say my daughter dies, so the money's not going to go to my grandchildren, right, for the previous marriage, it's going to go to my son-in-law. But I don't want that, so that's why people stopped giving a lot of money to their daughter, because they were worried they were going to lose it, and it was going to go to the husband. So, Cesar of Matisyahu, quoted in the Rosh Ksubis, Bizman hazeh, fathers gives enough money to their daughters, don't worry about the Ksubis bun indifferent. You don't have to worry, you don't have to keep that tonight Ksuba, because everybody gives plenty of money to their daughters. So I ask again, third question, what do you mean? This was a takana. Ksubas banan dichrin. How is it possible? How can you just change it and say, oh, it doesn't apply because everybody gives money to their daughters? What's the answer? This din was going against the mitzvah d'araisa of Yerusha. Right? There is a regular order of Yerusha. Maseches Basra talks all about it. Perek Yesh Nochlin. What's the order of Yerusha? You have the husband, you have the sons, you have all the male relative from the male's family. Right, so it's against that. So again, once the reason doesn't apply, you have to say the din doesn't apply. Because every time the Rabbanan made a din or a gzera that went against the din to Oraisa, it had to be that they formulated it with the reason formulated as part of it. And therefore, once the reason doesn't apply, then the gzera won't apply. But all the times, let's say the case of medicine on Shabbos, it must be, what din is that going against? What Oraisa is that going against? There's no daraisa that it's going against. So that's why by almost every other Issa Drabbanan, where it's just an added on, it's just a gzera, or it's a takana for some other reason, then the Rabbanan had their reasons, but it wasn't that, it was formulated as part of the takana. Okay, so those are three examples, and then we'll move on. I didn't quote the Meshech Chachma, you reminded me. The third Meshech Chachma from yesterday, and then we'll finish up. And then the Meshech Chachma just says on the Pasuk, B'mshoch HaYovel Hemu Ya'u Vahar, when the shofar blew, the Meshech Chachma is a beautiful, it's a short Meshech Chachma, one piece in Yutes Yud Gimel, where he says the message of the shofar blowing is to teach Am Yisrael that nothing has inherent Kedusha in life, except Torah. Even the mountain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on our Sinai, to give the Torah, but you know what? Once Hashem leaves, it's a regular mountain. There's nothing that has inherent Kedusha in life except for Torah. And that's, nobody should make the mistake of ascribing Kedusha to something. Shlo tadamu ki hahar hu inyan kadosh, ubesibaso nigla Hashem alav. Lo kein. No, don't think that way. And that's why he even says in another place that part of why Hashgacha had to have it that Moshe Rabbeinu died before going into Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, you read the Torah, it seems like he did some type of Aveira. But the Beis Hachakma says also part of it is because Am Yisrael would have deified him if he would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael would have thought he was a god, because who was alive at the end of the 40 years? None of the people that saw Moshe Rabbeinu as a boy growing up in Egypt, right? Who was alive? Only people who were less than 20. Only men who were less than 20, so they only knew Moshe as Rabbeinu. That's who they knew Moshe Rabbeinu. So it was a big chash as the Meshech Achla that they would think Moshe Rabbeinu, look at the Makus, right? That's part of, he says by the Chet Egel, what the problem was, that they ascribed him with greatness. And therefore, because he wasn't around, they said, what are we going to do? They didn't realize that all Kedusha, even of a human being, comes from the Torah that is part of him and comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. What about Harabayas? Good question, Alex. What about Harabayas? Doesn't that... So that's an exception to the rule. That's what, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina was stayed there and he permanently put his dwelling there. So even though he's not fully there now, we paskin, Kitshala Salavo, there is Kedusha there because that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permanent residence. Right? So even though he's not fully there, Bizman Hazeh, but that because of that, that's his permanent residence, that's why it sticks. Okay, let's continue. The luchos are underneath the ground there in the aron, so maybe that gives a kedusha, right? Okay, so maybe the aron is buried underneath. Okay, let's continue now. Davav, Amar Rava. What? Right, Shechina and the Betela. Right, so that's what it's his permanent residence. Amar Rava, here we go. Biyantiv, Davav. Biyantiv, Harishon, Yisasku, Bo'amamin. Let's say you have a mace that on first day Yantiv. So what's the halacha? So it doesn't dafka have to be have dot. Rashi says on top, meis hamutal likbar. Sounds like Rashi is emphasizing not that he dafka died on Yantif, but maybe he died on Erev Yantif, he just didn't get to bury him yet. So let's say you have a meis on Yantif Rishon, yis asku bo amamin, non-Jews are allowed to bury the meis for you on Yantif Rishon. And a Yantif Rishon, which is the Yantif Daraisa. Why? Says the Meiri here, again explaining by other Rishonim as well, because there's an issue of Kavod Abrius here, you want the meis to be buried. If you do an act, we're not going to be matted to orises for Yantav Rishon, but Amir La'akim is a Durabanan, so an Isser Durabanan, but Makam Kavod Abrios, then we will allow. So that's why on Yantav Rishon, you're allowed to ask non-Jews, we'll get to Lamaisa in a few minutes, you're allowed to ask non-Jews to bury your dead on Yantav. The Miri does note, though, in his continuation, why don't we do this on Shabbos? Or just on Yantav, they're both orisa, so Shabbos is an Isser Skila, and Yantav is an Isser Lab, but they're both orisa. So says the Meiri, on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, there's no start of a heter of any malacha. So we're not going to get into this discussion. It's more chamur. On Yantif already there's a heter ochel nefesh. So there are other malachas that are mutaros on Yantif. So that's why we'll allow this as well. Okay, so Yantif Yisrael, bo amamin, mace be Yantif Sheni, Yisrael, bo Yisrael. If there's a mace on Yantif Sheni, Jews are allowed to do the burial on Yantif Sheni. Because any malacha that they do, digging and dirt, any of that malacha, it's all the Rabbanan. It's all the Rabbanan, right? Yantav Sheni we're talking about. So it's all the Rabbanan. So they're allowed to bury on Yantav Sheni. V'afilu b'shnei yom tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Even on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, this halacha applies. There's no difference. Masha'en kei v'beitza. Unlike the halacha of Beitza, meaning a Beitza shenolta berishon, is still asura b'sheni, based on 3 of the reasons that we gave yesterday. So the kfura is different than Beitza, says Rava. Nahardai Yamri, Nahardai says, Afa Beitza. Nahardai argues on everything we said yesterday. Nahardai says, no, even on Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the egg is mutter. Beitza mutaris. Don't think of any of the 3 reasons from yesterday. Why? Demai daitech. What's the issue, says Nahardai? What's the only reason that we would ever keep 2 days? Dilma ma'abile la'elul. Because maybe there'll be ma'aber elul. Maybe Edom won't come. Or maybe Edom will come after Mincha in those days. And they had to get the next day kadosh. Ha'amar v'chinina barkana ma'rav v'yimos ezra v'eilach lo matzinu elam u'bar. Says Nahardai, says the Gemara, never in history, except that one time in the time of Ezra, Rashi quotes, never in history was Elul 30 days. They never had an Elul Ma'ubar. And therefore, Rashi explains, even though they made this type of takana of don't accept witnesses after Mincha, but it never happened that this takana had to kick in. So it never really had teeth as a takana kavua, and therefore the only time you ever kept 2 days was really because of a sfeika de yoma, and that's why nolda bazeh muteres bazeh, because it was always based kedushos. This is Nahardai arguing on everything that we said yesterday, that again, because the takana never really had to come into play, so it never got the status of a takana kavua. That is the halacha, and we never find elam ubar. This idea of not finding elam ubar comes up, interestingly, in Bizman Hazeh. Where does it come up, Bizman Hazeh? If you look in the tour, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, the tour quotes three reasons for the minhag of blowing shofar throughout Elul. Right, why do we blow shofar throughout Elul? So one reason, second reason is tshuva. The third reason is to mix up the satan. Those are the shorter reasons, right? And what the satan's going to think is Rosh Hashanah and the satan. What was the first reason the Torah quotes? The first reason is so that we don't miscalculate again. Because Bizman, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bizman Ha'egel, right, they miscalculated when he was going to come down. We don't want to miscalculate again when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come down in 40 days from now on Yom Kippur. So we blow shofar every day to keep count, to make sure we know exactly when Yom Kippur is going to be. So number one, this says the Sefer Rokeach. If this is true, so then you should blow during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If you got to blow 40 days, you got to blow during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Okay, he quotes that was a minhag in some places. You got to blow 40 days. But besides blowing during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you also, according to this, you miss out a day. Because what does our Gemara say? Elul is never me'ubar. So really, you only have 29 days of Elul and 10 days till Yom Kippur. So it adds up to 39. So you're going to mess up anyway. Ask the Akronim. Shabbos also, okay, but Shabbos, what can you do? So we understand there's a Shabbos. But, and what about Erev Rosh Hashanah? There's another one. But either way, you don't have 40. You have 39. So what do? So that is why maybe you should what? Says the Levush. The Levush, you know what you should do? You start blowing on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right? So the first day of Rosh Chodesh, because that's really Lamed Av. So you start blowing on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, so then you get 40. But the problem is, that's not our minhag. That's not the minhag of Klal Yisrael. The minhag of Klal Yisrael is to blow on the first day of Elul, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So what do? So, general answer given the Magen Avraham discusses it, and that is because that year, by Moshe Rabbeinu, because that year they started counting 40 days before, it was Aleph Elul, so we start Aleph Elul, even though the numbers don't really work out perfectly. But we start, even though the numbers might not work out. Rav Moshe writes in his Shuvah, interestingly, that if you're starting a new shul, and there is no set minhag of when to start blowing shofar, he says maybe you should start blowing on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. He says, if it's not the minhag, then don't do it, because you can't change the minhag. But he says, you know, both minhagim are appropriate, whatever you follow. But again, just to keep note, because of this principle, the numbers don't work out according to that first reason of the tour. Okay, let's continue. Amar Mar Zutra, Amar Mar Zutra, Lo Amran Ella De Ishtihi. Two ways to read this Gemara. We're going to follow Rashi. What is Lo Amran going on? So Mar Zutra says, Lo Amran, when do we say that Jews are allowed to be osek in the mace on the second day of Yontif? To Ishtihi. That is only if prolonging, if not burying the mace, will make the mace become putrid, and it'll be disgusting, and there's a chshas that it will become smelly, and that is why we'll give you the heter to allow you to bury the mace on the second day of Yontif. Ava Lo Ishtihi. But if there's no issue of ishtihi, maybe it's late in the day, maybe it's in a very cold climate, whatever it is, there's no worry about becoming putrid, then we don't give you the heter, says Mar Zutra, of bearing the mace on the second day of Yontif. That's Mar Zutra. Ravashi Amar? No. Avagab de lo ishti nami lo mashin onlay. Ravashi says, no. Even if there's no chshash, still we don't wait. Why? My taima, important line, Yomtif sheni lagabe mace, kechol shavua rabanan. Regarding a mace, Yontif Sheni is like a weekday. Kechol Shavua Rabbanan. Afilu lemekas like lima, even to cut clothing. Rashi points out not ikar tachrichin, but even extra stuff that you're going to use compared to the next one. Ulemekas la'asa. They used to bury people by putting a hadas on their arun. It smells good. So you even allowed to cut that. You don't need that to bury the person. The answer is Yontif Sheni is kemes, l'gabi mace is kechol Shavua Rabbanan. So let's stop here for a minute. So there's a big discussion, how literal do you take this word, kechol shavua rabbanan? For example, there's a machlokas rishonim. What about if you could get non-Jews on the second day of Yontif? Is it better to get non-Jews on the second day of Yontif to do it? Or no? Kechol shavua rabbanan, therefore Jews should do it. Machlokas rishonim, and it's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes in Hilchos Yontif, in Tav Kuf Chav Vav, the Mechaber writes that even if there are non-Jews around, Jews should do it. Jews should do it. Right? That's it. Kechol shavua rabbanan. What is the Gra quote on the Shulchan Aruch? Kechol shavua rabbanan. Meaning he thinks literal. The Ramah says no. The Ramah says in Tav Kuf Chav Vav Dalid, Avo ba'ashkenaz, b'diros elu, e'no'agin kein, elakol echadav shav ba'amamin, osan hakever, v'aron tachrich na'idei amamin. One machlok to be shown him. How literally you take it. Number two, let's say you have a burial service. Are you allowed to take money for burying somebody on Yontif Sheni? You let him take money. It says the Shulchan Aruch. The Machlokas we showing him again. Machlokas we showing him. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Yeah, mutar litos char. Tav kuf chav vav hey. So again, the Gra, what does the Gra say on the Shulchan Aruch? Kechol Shav Yor Rabbanan. Again, L'shitaso, because the Shulchan Aruch thinks it's like weekday. Everything regarding the mace is like weekday. So here too, you'll have to take money for it. Other Rishonim say, no. There's a Hatzot Abari, Kavod Abrius. You can't make money off the deal. You have money off of it. So again, you have various Rishonim that talk about this. Part of the issue about Jew versus non-Jew also is an important Ha'ara of Rabbi Chanan here in the Kovet Shi'irim. The Kovet Shi'irim points out, what do you see from this Gemara? That we know there's a Mitzvah D'Oraisa of Kavura. He says, you see from this Gemara that the Mitzvah of Kavura is result-oriented. It's Totsah-oriented and not Maisa-oriented. Because you're going to let a guy do it. What do you mean? If there's a Maisa Kavura that's significant, so you should wait, even if it's going to be a little difficult. You should have to wait. But the fact that we say, the fact that the Gemara says, you can have let Amamin be osik in it, he says, Muchach, da mitzvah miskayem es gam ayde nachrim. V'lo aminim ze ein shlichus l'nachri. Why? To mishum te guf ha-mitzvah hi totza'es ha-maisa. V'lo ha-maisa atzma. He quotes other examples. We discussed this a couple years ago by the mitzvah of ma'akeh. Mitzvah putting up a fence. Is that result-oriented? Is that you can ask a guy to put up your fence? Or is there some significance to putting up the fence? Is there a bracha? We pass there's a bracha when you put up a fence. Why? When you put up a fence, if there's a bracha, how can you say it's totza-oriented? So again, that's another example of an act that, you want to protect the person from falling off the roof. But there still might be significance to the mice. But says, what do you see from our Gemara? That kvura is a totza, is a result-oriented mitzvah. Oh, what about halacha l'maisa? So there's a big, important tshuva of Ramosha. Ramosha and the bear Moshe. Ramosha writes in the tshuva in Arachayim in Chela Gimel Simen Ayin Vav, Bizman Azeh, we should not do any burials on the second day of Yontif. Outside of the Hasidic world, they follow this Ramosha. And that is, Ramosha says that Pashut, he wrote this to the, to a Chaver Kadisha, in Tavshin Laman Aleph, 1971. B'dvar meis b'yad of sheni, she'ikilu rabbani she'asku b'Yisrael, pashut, shalo b'svil isa lo salani kilu, etc., etc. Avo b'atam hu pashut, tekiva deneg azeh, iki b'zoyin de Yisrach ha'meis, amru chachamim de yoser nicha shikru ayde nachrim, even though there's a slight b'zoyin to be buried by non-Jews, still Ramosha says, the other b'zoyin of the meis becoming putrid in the interim is outweighed, and that's why we allowed in B'zman HaGemara for the nachrim to bury. But says Ramosha b'Medina Seinu, here in America, b'zman hazeh shalekachal shash sirchon, nowadays there's no issue, mitzad hakerach hamalachuti, meaning there's freezers, right, sheyeshkan af, not freezers, just places, morgues, where they keep the base in a place where it's not going to get putrid in a day, or even in 3 days, even if Samir Rechman Aslan is nifter on the first night of a 3-day yantif. We still, even after 3 days, it's going to be fine. Af b'yamim ha'yoser chamim, even on the hottest days, ha'ein shum tzarech lahakulos. There is no reason for any kula. V'mayimotzi zebi mei chazal, if chazal had these refrigerators, says Ramosha, barur, shelo hayu matirin l'kvar b'yantav sheini, aflo ha'idei nachrim. Ach b'kal makam yishlomar, he says that they wouldn't have done it. He says, but you're going to tell me b'zman hazeh, once they made the heter, you can't change the heter. He says, okay. They have what to stand on, those who do it, but says Ramosha, I don't think they should do it. And then he adds in the last paragraph. And for sure, he says, okay, they have a leg to stand on, but Chazinon, he says, there are so many extra malachas done when it doesn't have to be done. They're calling each other in the car, directions and where you're going. There's so many other malachas that don't have to do with the mace that are done on the way to the Kvura. So therefore, Ramosha says, no way, nothing, no burial of Bizman Hazeh on Yantav Shein. He says, there are other Isurim, Bahudas Halavaya, Bakriyas HaTelephone, call the relatives. All these are Isurim. You don't need the relative from uncle, whatever, from somewhere else to come to the burial. It's an Isur to call them. Says Ramosha is against this. Again, I think it's known that in the Hasidic circles, they do bury on Yantav Sheini. They do bury. So they're obviously not relying on Ramosha. The other tshuva is the Bear Moshe. The Debetzina Rebbe has a tshuva. I guess the assumption is that they did. His shail is, you're allowed to come back from the cemetery. After you're buried, fine, the mace is finished. You've got to come back from the cemetery. Right, from so that he has 4 or 5 tshuvas in a row where he discusses that. He says, maybe not. He says, nowadays, especially where there's a place to sit and there's like an office to every base like Kvaris, just stay there to the end of Yantav. What are you coming back for? To make mincha? Well, we're not going to let you to drive to shul to make mincha. So he says it's probably better off to stay there for the rest of Yantav. If you're in a place where it's dangerous, it's going to get dark, sometimes there's laws, not that you're not, they have to close the cemetery at a certain time of day. According to the law, he says, okay, I'll give you some coolers. But in general, it might be better, he thinks, to stay in the cemetery as long as there's no sakana or other chash. You have to stay there. Yeah.
Rashi said,
right, so that's Rav Ashi. So he's...
Even,
Right, but even so, maybe it started off as an ishti halacha, but you're right. But that's what Rav Moshe backs up after he makes that statement. He says, okay, I understand. Once it's a heter, you know, they'll say it. Okay, let's continue now. Amar Ravina. Ravina has one more line. So it says, Ravina, nowadays, because there are chavre, what are chavre? Those are ruffians, we'll call them, that force Jews to work. And the Jews used to tell them, but you know what? It's our holiday, mister. We can't do any work. But says Ravina, if they see the Jews burying their dead on Yontif Sheni, oh, you can't do work today. You're going out and driving in your cars to go bury your dead. Can't do work. That's going to get us into trouble. Says Ravashi, Ravina, says Ravina. So therefore, Bisman Azeh, Chayshinan, and we don't bury. This is even prior to Ramosha. But that's what he says, Bisman Azeh. Tosis here discusses, one second, what about the Rishab Minyan? Once we made a law, right? Once there was a law, I'm sorry, let me add one line that I forgot to mention. It says Tosfos, but nowadays where there's no Chavri, so we go back to the Heter. That's what Tosfos adds on the fourth line of Tosfos. So then Tosfos says, I Dover Shem Minyan, once it was Asr Mishum the Chavri, because these people, shouldn't it be Asr? Says Tosfos, no. Sometimes there's a law, and this relates to what we discussed for 10 minutes at the beginning of this year today, sometimes there's a law that's not even because of a reason. It's because of a certain situation. It's because of a situation. So then we have the right to say, once the situation is not there anymore, the law is not there anymore. And he quotes the case of Mayim Gluyim. Right? If you live in a case, Bizman HaGemara, so you couldn't drink the water that was left overnight because the snake might have deposited his venom in it. But Bizman HaZeh, there are no snakes. What, you need a bezdin to say, Mutter! No, the Metzias of snakes isn't there anymore. So that's why the Halacha doesn't apply anymore. So to hear, the Metzias of Chavre aren't here. So, again, you don't know where to say this. The Metzias of making medicine by grinding it. So you don't know how far to take this, but again, that is the halacha. Some of them are clear cut, and that's what we would say. Good. Let's continue. Ravina Aviyasav Kamedrav Ashi Bishnei Yom Tovish Rosh Hashanah. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Chazi Davi Kaotziv. He saw that he was sad. Amalei Mayasamar. What are you so sad for? What do you mean? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a serious day. What's getting so upset about? What's the answer? It didn't say he was serious. It said he was atzvus. We had a whole shiur. What's appropriate on Rosh Hashanah? Simcha Yira on Rosh Hashanah. Is it appropriate? The Arizal says it's a mitzvah to cry on Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon says it's usher to cry on Rosh Hashanah. It's a very difficult day to know what to do. Right? It's Yom HaDin, but it's a Yantif. There's a mitzvah Suda, but everything's on the line. We don't say Hallel. So again, this is part of the large issue of Rosh Hashanah being a day of mixed emotions, or I should say opposite emotions, and that's part, Rosh Hashanah Balacha makes the Hara here, maybe it's because of that issue. Maybe it's Rosh Hashanah, it's still a Yantif. He was upset. Why was he so sad? So Amalei, Avelus is broken on Rosh Hashanah, right? So that's why it's there is a Simcha aspect. So Amalei, you know why I'm so upset? I forgot to put in the Erev Tavshilin, meaning today's Thursday. It was Thursday. It was a 3-day Yontif. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. It was Thursday. I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin yesterday, which would allow me to cook tomorrow, Friday, for Shabbos. So Amalei, Velosim Arho Idna. So why don't you put the Erev Tavshilin, set it today. Today on Thursday. How can you do it today? Milo Amarava. What?
His reason for being sad has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. His reason for being sad, that's what he thought. That's why he came over to him and discussed it. But his reason for being sad had nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Correct. So he says, what are you so sad about? Because I didn't put the Erev Tavshilin. I said, put it now. Milo Amarava. Didn't Rava say, Maniach Adam Erev Tavshilin Miyadav Chaveiro, Umasne, a person is allowed to make a tznai. On the first day Yantif, say, I'm putting my Erev Tavshilin. We'll see how an Erev Tavshilin works at the beginning of the second parak. We'll get to that on Daf Tezvav. We'll get to that in Bezrem next week. But what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to, on the Thursday, say, I'm not sure if today is weekday or Yantif. If today is weekday, I'm setting my Erev Tavshilin today, which will allow me to cook tomorrow Yantif. If it's not, then today is Yantif. Tomorrow is weekday, so I don't need it. Because tomorrow I'll cook regular for Yantif. So you're allowed to make that tonight. So Amarlei says, he answers him, no. So he says, no, I know that tonight could work on the Yantif Sheni, regular Yantif Sheni. Does that even work on Rosh Hashanah? I thought I didn't have any option. So Gemara says, I've Amri Naridari Abesim Muteres. Right, so he says to him, what do you mean? Nardoi says, even basis Muteris on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So what are you worried about? You see, Rosh Hashanah is just like every other Yantif. So I'm like, Mordechai, no. Beferish Amar Limar, Jelo Savalo Lahanadoi. We don't hold like Nardoi. So what do you bring me rise from Nardoi? Yesterday's blot was all against Nardoi, like we said earlier. Stop bringing rise from Nardoi, that's why I'm so upset. Okay, end of story. Itzmar. Efroach Shenolad Biyantif. Let's say, we spoke about this a little bit 2 days ago. Let's say you have a chick that came out of the egg on Yantif. Not Beis HaShenolda, but Efroach Shenolad. A chick that came out of the the egg on Yontif. Rav Amar Aser Ushmo Vitim Rav Yochanan Amar Mutter. Machlokas. Rav Amar Aser Muksahu. Rav says it's Muksa because this chicken was not Mukhan when Yontif started. It was in the egg, and that's why it's Aser on Yontif. Ushmo Vitim Rav Yochanan Amar Mutter. Rav Yochanan says it's Mutter. Hoil. Why is it Mutter? Hoil Umatir Atzmo Bishchita. Since it matters itself with Shchita. What does that mean? So Rashi says, fourth wide line, Hol matir atzmo b'shchita, since the moment that it's born, now you're allowed to shecht it. Before, while it was in the egg, you couldn't. There was no way to shecht it. Remember we said, if you break open an egg and the efrel comes out, you still can't eat it, right? Until its eyes open, until later. So since, says the Gemara, let's read Rashi, Hol matir atzmo b'lei daso, lios nishchat mashalo hayilafnei lei daso, since the moment of birth matirs it enough so that now it's shechtable. So too, the moment of birth also solves the problem of muksa. That's Rashi. Ask the Pnei Yoshua, what is Rashi talking about? These are two, he says, Shanim Rabos, I've been bothered by this Rashi. What is Rashi talking about? Just because the birth solves the problem of shechita, so how does it solve the problem of muksa? So the Pnei Yoshua gets a totally from shot of the Gemara. So I don't know what Rashi means, and then we get a totally from shot. But maybe one can suggest as follows. That maybe what Rashi is saying is that the moment of birth solves problems for this egg. Not all problems. Let's say this egg comes from a trefa. It's not going to solve that problem. But any problem that this chick has due to the fact that it's in the egg is solved when it's born. So there are two problems that it has because being in the egg. Number one, it's muksa. Number two, it can't be shechted. Those two problems are linked because both of them have to do with being in the egg. So that's Rashi. This moment of Shas Leda is a matir for problems related to being in the egg. So says that's what Rashi says. Hol matir aswa b'leidaso. Since it's matir itself and it's Leda to be shechted, so too it's matir the muksa problem. That's also, both of them are problems due to the fact that it is in the egg. It's still a chiddush, but that seems to be what Rashi is saying. And that's why this chick born on Yantif is mutter to partake in. On the same day. Not Nolan. That's what he says. Matar aswa b'shchita. Oh, says the Arsameach. The Arsameach is different from Shana in the Gemara. This answers your question. The Arsameach Nechaz Yandav says no. He says, why isn't there any issue of Muksa or Nola? What does it mean, Matar aswa b'shchita? Matar aswa b'shchita. Says the Arsameach, what's Muksa? Muksa means when something is a davar shelo huchan. Something that is not prepared. So that, it has to be in the world in order not to be prepared. But if something is totally not here, that's not even nolad. It's big. Its problem makes it better. If it's totally not nechshav in the bria at all, so then we'll say it's not even muksa. And if it comes out today somehow, that it's not even going to be nolad. It's going to be solve the problems. If you have something, this is focused on the chefza. If you have a chefza shelo huchan, that's muksa. That's nolad. But says the Arsameach, when you have the chick in the egg, it's as if it's not here. It's like you have a rock here. It's like a domain. And then when it comes out, it's like totally new in the world. That's not muksa or nolad. Because it totally wasn't here, so it's not going to be in that world. That's a chiddush. We'll have to see if that works in the other sugyas. Nolad is, you have clouds that have rain in it, right? The first Tosfos on Daf Beis, we didn't discuss it, but you have rain here. It's here in the world. It's just not, it's in a different form. Let's say you have changing forms on Shabbos. It's here in a different form. Making ice, according to the Tosfos that say it's a problem. Because it's here, now you're changing its form. Oh, so that's his chiddush. His chiddush is that the chick, while it's still inside the egg, is a domain. It's a domain.
The egg
was here, yeah. The egg hatched. The egg, let's say, was laid on yesterday. So we don't get into that, those issues. Okay, let's continue. So we have a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. A chick that comes out of the egg on Yontif, is it mutter or not? So Amalei Rav Kana v'Rav Asa l'Rav. So Rav Kana asks Rav. Rav, who says it's usser. Uma bein zel la'egah shalom b'yontif. Why is a chick coming out of an egg different than a calf coming out of a cow? If a calf comes out of a cow on Yontif, we know it's mutter to shech that calf. On Yantif. You gotta do shchit on Yantif. So what's the difference? Why is that mutter and the chick usser? So Amar Lahu, ho, mukhan agavim o b'shchita. No, the difference is because mukhan agavim o b'shchita. What does that mean? So we have to learn a halacha called Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua is a Mishnah, Maseches Chulin, which talks about, let's say you shecht an animal. And then after you shecht the animal, you find a baby inside. Mida oraisa, that baby could be eaten without shchita. Why? Because it's hutar with the mother shchita. That's a chiddush of Ben Pekua. Maybe it's a rabbanon, you have to do it. But midaraisa is Ben Pekua. So therefore, this calf inside the cow on Yantif, it was Muchan. Why is it Muchan? Because you could have shechted the mother, and when you shechted the mother, that would have been Matir, the kid also. So that's why it's different than the egg, because you can't do anything with the egg. The egg you can't shecht, so that's why there's a difference. I asked the Gemara, V'chima bein zela ekel shenola ben atrefa. So what about a calf that comes out of a trefa on Yantif? So a trefa's, if you shecht the trefa, it has a hole in his lung, if you shecht the trefa, that doesn't help out for the kid, right? Because that's not a good shechita. So that's not going to help out for the kid. But we know even a calf that comes out of a trefa on Yantif is going to be mutter. So Shasag Rav. Rav was quiet. So I'm Ravi, Tamer of Yosef. My time is Shasag Rav. Why was he quiet? Why didn't he answer him that he could have given the mother as dog food? Right? It was Muchan. There wasn't a problem. An egg is totally not Muchan. An egg you can't use for anything. You can't even give it to your pet to eat. But the trefa cow, a trefa is not Asr Bahana. It's only Asr Bahila. Right, it's only Asr Bahana, so therefore you can give it to this, so it's Muchan also. So why didn't he give that answer? So Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, no, he couldn't have given that answer. Why? Because Hasha, Muchan la'adam lo'havi, Muchan la'klavim. We already know that if something is Muchan, in the category of ready for a person, lo'havi Muchan la'klavim, we don't automatically say it should be Muchan la'klavim. So then, for sure, we don't say the other way. The Gemara is going to say in a minute. But first, we have to prove this. We say Muchan la'adam lo'havi, Muchan la'klavim. Ditzan, as the Mishnah says, we have this on that base already. You're allowed to cut up the gourds in front of an animal, or if a nevela happens on Shabbos, you're allowed to give it to the klavim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imlois a nevela, Meir of Shabbos Asura, Lefishanim in a Muchan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it wasn't a nevela before Shabbos, it's Asur because it's not Muksa. So you see from this Mishnah, Muchan la'adam lo'havi, Muchan la'klavim. Problem is, how do you see that from this Mishnah? What does this Mishnah have to do anything with Muchan la'adam? So Tosas asked Akasha, Tema, he says, how does this prove anything? We're trying to prove that if something is Muchan for a person, it's not Muchan for an animal. So where do you see that from here? So Tosas struggles to figure out how. He gives three tries. Maybe you change the girsa, maybe you just say it's an extra word in the girsa. Either way, but let's assume for now, somehow you prove from this Mishnah, can look at the Tosas, Muchan la'adam lo'avi Muchan la'klavim. So if that's true, so Muchan la'klavim avi Muchan la'adam, so you're going to tell me if it's Muchan for dogs, you could give your trefa to your dog, is Muchan la'adam, you wouldn't say that. And that's why Rav couldn't answer that. So I'm like, no, the Gemara says, no, he could have answered it, because it is true. You only go in one direction. Muchan la'adam lo'avi Muchan la'klavim. If something is Muchan for a person, we say it's not Muchan for animals. Why? If something is fit for human consumption, I'm not going to give it to my pet. I'm going to eat it. That's why Muchan la'adam is lo havi Muchan la'klavim. Muchan la'klavim havi Muchan la'adam. But if something is Muchan for pets, then I'll eat it. If I could eat it, then even if my dog was also going to eat it, but if I could eat it, I'm going to take it also. The diet of the Inish, I'll call me to the chazilei, because a person has in mind, when Yantav starts, or when Shabbos starts, everything that is fit for him. So that's why Rav could have answered that there's a difference between the calf coming out of a trefa, which could be mutter, versus a chick coming out of an egg. Period. So now the Gemara just brings two supports to each of the sheetahs before. Tani gavas derav, tani gavas deshmuel. Let's vitamer Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a port for each sheetah. Again, what machlokas are we talking about? Machlokas is if a chick comes out of an egg on Yantif, is it mutter or usser? So tani gavas derav, it's a price that supports Rav, who says it was usser. Egel shonol beyantif mutter. An egel, a calf that was laid on Yantif is mutter. Efroch shonol beyantif usser. An efroch, a chick that comes out is usser though. Ma hefesh bein zeh lazeh. Zeh muchan agavimo b'shchidav. Zeh eina muchan agavimo. Right, so this is not Muchan, and that's a raya to Rav. Tani gavas de Shmuel, that's a favorite like Rav. Tani gavas de Shmuel, v'itamer Rabbi Yochanan, it supports Rabbi Yochanan who says that it is mutter. Ega shol b'yantav mutter, v'efroch shol b'yantav mutter. It's also, they're both mutter. My taima, zeh Muchan agavimo, v'zeh Muchan mater atzmo b'shchita. The chiddush that we had on Amar Aleph of mater atzmo b'shchita. Whatever that means, Rashi or Samech. Tani Rabbanan, new case. Efroach shenolad biyantif aser. Efroach, not a new case, a new shita. So the Tanakhama says, Efroach that comes out of yantif is aser. Meaning like Rav. New shita, Rabbeinu ben Yaakov omer, af bechol aser. Rabbeinu ben Yaakov says, even on a weekday, right after the chick comes out of the egg, it's aser. We referred to this a couple days ago. Why? Lefishalon is paschu enav. Because its eyes are not open yet. And therefore, it's a problem. What's the problem? The following: Kaman Ozlahad the Tanya, the Brisa says, L'chol Asheres Asheres Ala Aretz, for all insects are usher to you, L'rabos Efrachim Shlonis Paschu Enayim, to include chicks that their eyes are not open yet, so therefore they're still considered a sheretz. They don't have the status of a chick yet. They're still considered a sheretz. So who is that? Like Kaman Kerab Lazer Ben Yaakov. That's Rabbi Lazer Ben Yaakov Shita, that even if a chick comes out on a weekday from an egg, it's still going to be usher. Period. So what is he held the status of when it's inside? It's also a sheretz. Sure, a sheretz. Everybody agrees when it's inside. The question is, what happens when it comes out? Period. Okay, new line. Rav Huna Amar Rav says, two more minutes. Beitza im yitziasa nigmura. Rav Huna Amar Rav made a statement. An egg, while it comes out, is completed. An egg, while it comes out, is completed. My yitziasa nigmura. What does that mean? What did he mean by that statement with an egg, while it comes out of the animal, it is completed? The Gemara has five suggestions. What did Rav Huna Amar Rav mean? We're going to do one or maybe two of them today and the other three tomorrow. But coming up, there are five suggestions. What did he mean by this statement? An egg, while it comes out, is completed. So, Eilema, let's do number one today at least. Eilema, imitsiyasa nigbara, does he mean while it comes out, it's finished? Umu teres l'achala b'chalev. And at that moment, it can be eaten with milk. Because it's fascinating. You ever think about it? You have chicken, it's fleishik. An egg comes out of a chicken, an egg is parv when it comes out. So when does it become fleishik to parv? Right? Before, while it's like being formed, it's still part of the mother. So it's fleishik, it's part of the mother. But once it comes out, it's gonna be parv. You can eat it with milk. So when does it change? What happens? What if it's an egg, if it's fully completed, but it didn't come out yet? Is it still fleishik? According to what we say, midrabanan, or is it still? What's the point of change? So it says the Gemara. Maybe that's what he means. Ilema imisiyasa nigbara umu teres lachal b'chalav. If it's completed as it comes out, and what does he mean? It means in terms of eating basa b'chalav, and it's mutter now. Once the egg comes out, now it's parav, and it's no longer fleishik, and you're allowed to eat it with milk. But habamei ima asur lachal b'chalav. But if it's still in the womb of the mother, it's asur. No, but v'hatani, we have a brisa that says otherwise. V'hatani hashokhani, we had this all the way earlier on that base. Hashokhani tzaru kol zbal v'isim gemuros mutar lachal b'chalav. We paskin once it's completed inside the mother, it's already mutter. It's already not considered part of the mother. So therefore, that can't be what he meant, that the moment that the egg comes out is crucial for the basa b'chalav issue, because we know even earlier, the second that it's completed inside the mother, it's already not considered fleishik. So number one possibility is rejected. So we're going to have to get to number two, but we'll stop here. We're going to start with Tosfos, though, on the bottom, because Tosfos asks, it sounds like from here, that you're allowed to eat this egg with milk, even while it's still inside. But we also have another Mishnah in Idios, which says that while the egg is still inside, even if completed, it's still called a nevela. Still called a nevela, which seems to say it's still called meat. That's a steer that we'll start with, that's tomorrow morning. Okay, we'll stop here. Today's shiur was sponsored by the Keller family, Zechanishma Zelda Bas Aaron.
Whoa. Good save.
Not close.
Yeah. But what's...